Have our call to order for the, what date is it today? The January 17th Budget and Finance Commission meeting. I'd like to welcome everybody as our speaker and also our brand new commission members. So, Andrea, could you start with the roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Commissioner LeMay? Commissioner Layard? Commissioner
Here.
Commissioner Carr?
Here.
Vice Chair Mason?
Here. Okay, we'll start off and I'll lead in the Pledge of Allegiance. Have a call to the audience now, but do we have any requests to speak to the board?
No speakers.
Nope. Okay. Guess we'll go on with the staff liaison report.
Good evening, Vice Chair Mason, members of the commission. First off, I just want to welcome the new commissioners joining us this evening. Thank you for serving on the commission and looking forward to working with you and addressing questions that you may have. And so I just want to thank you for your service. Secondly, just wanted to mention that our budget season is really well underway at this point. Working on our CIP updates, working on our operational budget updates, personnel requests, and things of that nature that go into that. And so this is always a busy time, and look forward to presenting some of that information for you in a couple months as to how our budget is shaping up. Third, I'd like to kind of bring you up to speed that I know at the last meeting, I mentioned that we had not received our PSPRS actuarial reports. Well, those have now been released by the plan, and so we have received those. We are fully funded. Hope to bring an update to you with more details and those reports at the next meeting to kind of bring you up to speed. And as many of you are probably well aware, if not all of you, we do need to update our pension funding policy on an annual basis, and so that's something that this commission works on. So we'll be staff will present a recommendation. Certainly, you will have input into that recommendation before it goes to council for final approval and adoption, probably either in March or April, depending on how quickly we move through that process. So with that, that concludes my staff liaison report. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Now we'll get into our first agenda item. So, Andrea, would you please read the first item, please?
Item one, review and approval of the December 13th, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Are there any questions from any of the commission members concerning the minutes? Could I have a motion for approval?
And I move to approve the December 13th, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so it was approved by Heather, Commissioner Laird, and seconded by Commissioner Fortunato. Okay, we'll go on to item number two, and Andrea, could you please read item number two.
I don't think you voted on it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Thank you. Now we'll go to item two.
Discussion and possible action on electing a chair and vice chair for the Budget and Finance Commission.
Okay, do we have any motions for appointing the chairman and the vice chairman? Do I volunteer? Or?
You can always move to approve yourself as chair.
Okay. Any other? Okay. Well, I move to appoint myself as chairman of the Budget and Finance Committee. All of them in favor?
Need a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Now we need to appoint our vice chair. Do we have any nominations or volunteers? Would you like to do it, Charles? Well, I'll make a motion to nominate Heather. Boy, did I get the names right? Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Congratulations. Andrea, could you go on to item number 3, please?
Number 3, presentation and discussion of town annual comprehensive financial report, single audit, and alternative expenditure limitation report for fiscal year end June 30th, 2022.
You'd like to introduce the speaker, Dave?
Yes, members of the commission, I'd like to introduce Brian Hemmerly, audit partner for Baker Tilly. So just need to quickly state that Baker Tilly may not be a familiar firm to the commission. We utilized Henry and Horn last fiscal year ending June 30th, 2021. Brian was a partner at Henry and Horn as well. Henry and Horn has recently been acquired by Baker and Tilly, so that's what the change is there. And Henry and Horn was a large regional firm. Baker Tilly is kind of more of a national firm. A very large national firm, and so Brian can speak more to the details if necessary, but I just wanted to kind of highlight that fact, and Brian has many years of audit experience in municipal governments. That's kind of his focus area and area of expertise, and he will be presenting our ACFR for you this evening, our annual expenditure limitation report, and then the single audit as well. All of those items are attached in your packet this evening. So with that, Brian,
thank you.
Take it away.
Good afternoon. Again, my name is Brian Hemmerly. Just to kind of briefly recap what Mr. Gephardt had mentioned, Henry and Horn was the largest locally owned firm in the state of Arizona. We had recently combined as of December 1st, with the ninth largest CPA firm in the world, Baker Tilly. They're based out of Chicago. We are their sole Arizona branch. The team, audit team, myself, will not change for your audit, so there should be no change there. Pricing, everything that's ever been agreed to comes over. So no real change as far as that goes. Really just the only change is the name on the audit report. So with that, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, I'd like to begin the presentation here. I see we're making a brief change. Oh, it's a different PowerPoint. Well, while they're bringing that up, I can kind of begin speaking about what's on the PowerPoint. So this year, the town has received a clean opinion on their financial statements. We issued 3 reports, one for your financial statements, one for the single audit, which is what we call the audit over federal grant money that you receive, and one over an audit report over your expenditure limitation report that's required by the state of Arizona. We provide reasonable assurance that all these reports are materially correct, and they were materially correct in guidance with generally accepted accounting principles and government accounting standards. Dated May 10, 2022 was the engagement letter we had with the town for this year's June 30, 2022 audit. Again, stating our requirements and the requirements of the town. We do look at internal controls. We do statistical valid sampling over transactions. We test internal controls. We walk through those controls. And of course, we interview members of finance and management. All significant accounting policies can be found in note one. We had no difficulties encountered while performing our audit, no uncorrected misstatements, no disagreements with management, and no audit shopping has been brought to our attention. So that first report did receive a clean opinion, no change, what we call an unmodified opinion. The second report here, the expenditure limitation report, is required by the state of Arizona to be issued to the Auditor General's office for the state of Arizona. This year's Economic Estimates Commission limitation was $161 million. that is the amount that you can spend up to as a town during 2022. The expenditures that were subject to the limitation on your financial statements this year were only $116.6 million, so you're well below that limitation by about $45.2 million. So clean report that's been issued and filed with the state of Arizona. Again, the single audit report is our third report. This is the report we do on federal grant money. Anything that the town spends over $750,000 worth of federal grant money has to be audited. This year, the major programs that were audited are the COVID state and local fiscal recovery funds. Roughly $6.2 million was audited, the ARPA program. The town did receive an unmodified opinion, what we consider a clean opinion on those funds. We had no findings related to that. Again, no findings or recommendations to be reported to the town in 2022. I have some really high-level graphs here. I'm going to kind of briefly run through these. Your dark graph there is 2021. The lighter one is 2022. And this is a comparison of your government-wide and millions of dollars for assets, liabilities, net position, revenues, and expenses. The assets are up this year roughly because of the proceeds for a grant. Or no, I'm sorry, not a grant, a revenue bond for your Parks and Rec. Liabilities are also up for the same particular reason. Net position has an increase just because of revenues over expenses have increased, but revenues are down this year compared to last for government-wide purposes, and expenses are flat. Fund balance, this is without capital assets or debt or pensions. This is more of a cash basis look at your fund balance, your equity over the last 3 years. The big increase there for the all governmental funds in 2022 is related to the proceeds, again, from those revenue bonds for your Parks and Rec in 2022. Those proceeds fell to equity at the end of the year and caused a big increase. This is your enterprise funds, water, and then all other non-major enterprise funds. 2020 through 2022, a three-year look at that. You've had a nice increase in your equity, your fund balance in those funds over the last 3 years, but nothing to really point out or anything alarming here. This graph is honestly kind of the same that we've already talked about. This is, again, a three-year look at all your fund balances, but this kind of puts it in perspective for all your governmental funds, your one general fund, and then the total of your proprietary funds. So you'll see your proprietary funds take the cake when it comes to how much equity for the town in total there is. But over the 3 years, you can see there's been an increase in all three. And that is my presentation. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer it.
Any of the commissioners have questions?
Yeah, I just had a quick question about the single audit on page 12 for the findings for 2021, the contributed capital assets. And if you could just explain
Absolutely.
What's happening there. It looks like it's resolved. But
yep, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Laird, that is a prior finding that we had, 2021. That was related to some capital related to a road infrastructure that had been donated or contributed from the state of Arizona, I believe ADOT, if I'm not mistaken, to the town in prior years before 2021, that never really made it onto the capital assets. It's a very isolated situation. It wouldn't really have an impact from year to year, but it was discovered in 2021, actually by management of the town. It wasn't really discovered by the audit, but it was brought to our attention, and because of that, we had to do a prior period adjustment to equity, which caused a finding that needed to be reported to the users of the financial statements. But again, that wouldn't be an issue that you would see year to year unless you continuously miss contributed capital assets from other entities such as developers or ADOT or someone of that nature.
Okay, thank you. So is it part of the 2021 single audit or the 2022 that you're reporting it?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, the reason that's in there is because the federal government requires that we identify last year's findings and say at the top, I believe it should say at the top, whether or not it has been corrected or uncorrected in the 2022 audit. So that's really the only purpose for it being in your 2022 financial statement report that you're seeing there. Is just really to show, hey, there was a finding last year, but that finding's been corrected in 2022. I don't know if that answers your question or
that helps a lot. So okay. There were no other findings in 2021.
That's correct. Yep. Okay. No other findings, no other recommendations in 2022.
Great. Thank you very much.
Just a couple. Now that you're under a new firm, did any of your audit procedures or anything like that change because of going to a new firm?
That's a great question, Mr. Chair. We actually performed the audit pretty much before December 1st. So the majority of the audit was actually done under the old Henry and Horn. We just happened to issue the report, I think, just after December 1st. So really, our procedures hadn't changed for the 2022 audit. Now, for 2023, they will change. We are in the process of learning ourselves how Baker Tilly would like to see us do the audits. For the most part, government audits have to be done a certain way, but there are little differences. For instance, under Henry and Horn, maybe we tested 25 controls over water revenue, water receipts, user revenues. Maybe Baker Tilly wants us to test more, maybe they want us to test less, or maybe they want us to use more of a risk-based approach as far as do we think there's a high risk and should we maybe test more because of that. So those are the types of things we're going to learn with them over the next 6 months. And we're hoping to be hitting the ground running after June 30 for your 2023 audit, and we will be applying those procedures. And I anticipate it'll actually probably be quite a substantial increase in the amount of work. Being a big firm like that, there's a lot of legal liability, so I think we might actually be testing more.
So how many hours did you plan for this audit?
That's a great question. I don't remember off the top of my head. I think we had a team of four or five that came out for just under a week, but then of course we finished the audit back in our office and we do a lot of work after we leave the field. But we were here in late September, I believe, 2022, and we do most of our detailed test work during that week when we're on site, and then the rest of the audit we do like analytics and things of that nature we do back in our office. So at least a week in September, probably another week, full week back in the office afterwards. And in the summertime, we do control test work remotely. We do walkthrough type things. So we do risk assessment related items in the summer, but that's not usually a full week. That's a handful of days with a smaller team.
Do you spend time reviewing the controls and so forth for the financial system?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what we'll do in our risk assessment this summer. And every summer we come back to reassess if there's been any changes in your internal control structure. And if so, we'll usually test those changes. If there aren't any changes in your internal control system, then we look at the risk-based approaches. Has there been risky areas in the past or that we think there might be in the future? And then we might test controls over those areas. But we do that for receipting, expenditures, capital assets, debt, your financial close, your grants, your compliance. And I know I'm missing payroll. I'm missing some, but that's kind of the high level areas that we really dig in.
Do you hit the actual financial computer system or the software system that they use?
As far as running erroneous items through the system to see if it gets caught, is that what you mean?
Or do you check on controls, security controls, access controls,
internal
controls,
IT related,
and the actual system that
that's a great question. You know, we are CPAs, we're accountants, we're not really IT people. We do look at, you know, your controls around your servers, physical safeguards. We look at when someone terminated from the town, how quickly are they removed from the system. We look at user controls to see if we can identify any segregation of duty issues between, you know, maybe somebody has too many rights in the system that they shouldn't be able to write a check and, you know, collect a check, deposit a check, all those things. And so we do look at that. As far as getting into some of the like code of a system, yeah, we don't, we do. Baker Tilly has those services if that's something you're ever interested in. They have IT guys that can come out and really take a look at that. And that is a big concern of a lot of our cities. We had, it's public knowledge. You know, there was a big ransomware for the city of Kingman in the past couple of years. I think ADOT had a big one recently. And then there was one with, I think, Department of Transportation. They're going after cities because you guys have big pockets. And so, and they think you'll pay. But as long as you've backed up everything, and we do interview and try and make sure you have separate backups in different locations. If there's fires or floods, you can get up and running again, make payroll if you have to. But inevitably, it could take, I mean, Kingman had great controls. It still took them a month to get back up and running with the backups they had. So it can be a challenge.
In note one, it talked about having the new pronouncement. What was the impact of that on the financial statements?
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's great. So this year, the GASB is Governmental Accounting Standards Board. There's a new pronouncement for GASB 87 related to leases. So in the past, you had operating leases and capital leases. Capital leases, you had a capital asset, and then like a debt item, a liability on the books. Whereas an operating lease is really just rent payments as expense. In the future, going forward now, GASB 87 says there's no such thing as operating leases. It's almost essentially all capital leases. We call them just leases now. So we had to go through all your contracts to see if there were any contracts that fell into the definition of a lease and make sure that, those got captured. This has inevitably been the case with every city in town. There are contracts that under the old definition were not considered a lease, but now under the new definition are considered a lease. And so those had to get put on the books prospectively, so we did not have to go restate anything in the prior year statements. So this year, moving forward, we issued, you'll see there's new lease liabilities on the books and new what we call right-to-use assets. So those are assets that you have the right to use that are someone else's, but they're like capital assets. So that was the new standard this year.
Did that result in the restatement of the beginning balance for the fixed assets, or was that something different?
Yes, actually, well, so yes, it had a, you know, to be honest with you, I can't remember exactly on your financial statements, but most cities and towns have been seeing a restatement to the capital asset balance and the debt balance, but because you have a debit and a credit, there was no effect on equity. So there's no restatement to equity, just really just the assets and the liabilities.
Yeah, I just noticed in note six that it was a restatement of the beginning balance, so that was because of that. Okay, thanks.
Yes, Chair Mason, that did result in that restatement. That was the cause of that restatement.
Yeah, and just to take that just a step further, because you try to get a GFOA award, you may be familiar with the GFOA award for your financial statements. We have to make sure we have all that in place so that you can get the award again this year. So it's not a restatement that's like a bad restatement. It's a restatement simply because of the change in accounting.
Then in note three, I always ask a question about note three. So that was the exceeding the budget. Was that, what fund was that with? Well, I guess the question I had is that in note one, it talks about the legal level of budgetary control. Does that have any application to what happened concerning note three?
I don't. I'm not familiar with note three off the top of my head.
Yeah, so Chair Mason, I just want to, on page 91, we have the general fund there. So the way that the budget, the legal level of budgetary control for the town is basically on a fund by fund basis, except for the general fund, where we do it on basically a department type basis. So that's where you see the general fund reporting is really kind of more detailed and more detailed than what you see with the other funds reporting. You will note in a couple of the departments, and I'm not, you know, I guess town council and looks like public works were over budget. However, the total category for general government was under budget. Really we just have to report on that. In terms of The spending limitation, which is really kind of more the, I'll say, the primary concern of the town, or ought to be the primary concern of the town. We were well under, and Brian hit on that early on in his presentation, we were well under our annual expenditure limitation. So that's really kind of the primary concern. But these are, we have to report on these on a department basis for the general fund. So there were a couple departments, and that's not all that unusual. There's not really a legal issue that causes or challenge that causes for the town. We've had these in the past, and you know it'll vary depending on departments. Even this year with the new implementation of GASB 87, you'll notice that there's principal and interest, there's debt service that's reported. We did not have any budgeted debt service reported in the general fund because we didn't really know what that was going to look like until we had gone through the calculations at year end. So there are, you know, situations and circumstances, on page 91, where you will note that there are either categories or departments that have gone a little bit over budget, and we don't, I think it's note 2 states that there's not really an issue there from a legal standpoint that causes for the town.
So this wasn't at a fund level then?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I just have a couple small little questions. Do we want to?
Absolutely. Yeah. These are great questions.
Keep you here any longer than you needed to.
No, I came down. I'm here.
Okay. In note 14, it talks about donated land. Is that the reserve, the Rancho Vistoso land that we're talking about?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, that is the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve that was that the town had acquired via donation from the Conservation Fund. So that that note is it's a subsequent event, so it was not reported, but we did have to, it was not recorded, but it was reported in the notes. So that's where you see that there. It will be actually recorded this fiscal year, but it was after year end.
The town made a payment though of 800 and some of that. What was the payment for?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, members of the commission, so the town did make a $885,000 settlement payment to the original developer to basically facilitate that transaction. And so because the town was, as part of the negotiations, whatever, the town was trying to achieve acquiring that property via donation. And so so the town had to make that settlement transaction payment to the developer to release that property.
Okay, thanks. That's all the questions I have. Thank you for your time. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'll see you tomorrow.
So are there any other questions on the CAFR or anything else? Okay. You go on to the next agenda item, please.
Agenda item 4, presentation and possible discussion of the town's FY22-23 financial update through November 2022.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Chair, Commission members. Pleased to be presenting our update through November. Let's see, our clicker is hiding from me. All right, perfect.
First, to just start off, I won't read through these all necessarily. You've seen this slide before, but these are just our disclaimers, essentially. When we provide estimates, those are always subject to adjustments at the end of the year. We do have auditor adjustments that are required at year end that typically aren't factored into the year end estimates. Our adopted budget is really our financial plan for the year. And so when we're assessing performance, it's typically our actuals that we're comparing to our adopted budget to gauge that measure there. Overall, our revenues continue to perform well compared to budget, and our expenditures are trending as we would expect through November. All right, we'll start off with the general fund revenues. You can see our major sources there. Our sales tax continues to look strong. We're at about $10.8 million in collections through November, or just under 43%. We have a year-end estimate quite a bit higher than budget. That's due to expected growth that we're seeing in contracted sales tax, or not growth, rather, in construction sales tax, but the decline from last fiscal year is quite a bit less than we anticipated. So we did expect a drop in construction sales tax only because we saw, you recall, that big year where we had a lot of residential activity during COVID. And so we did expect that to drop a bit, and it has. But it is still performing quite well, actually, compared to where we had budgeted for that decline. Retail and restaurant and bar also continue to look strong. We're at about 5% growth in both of those categories through November. And our remote seller and hotels actually continue to perform strong, too. State shared revenues, we've mentioned this category before. We are at about 43% of budget, or $7.6 million through November. We are expecting to come in nearly $1 million over budget, and that is due to our higher than expected state sales tax that we're seeing, and based on final league figures. So that is implemented there in our year-end estimate. Charges for services, I don't believe we've had any change in this category since last month. We are expecting to come in just a bit under budget in this area, and that is due to suspension of transit fares, bus fares, based on the region. So we have removed those revenues, those budgeted revenues, from the year-end estimate. Licenses and permits continue to perform strong. Our commercial side of things, actually, we are now at 100% of budget already through November. For that category, we have our La Posada, our large La Posada development incoming, as well as our single family residential permits. We had budgeted about 170 for the fiscal year. We are at about 63 through November. So we're trending more to about 150 in terms of overall permitting numbers. But again, those revenues per permit, those construction values on the residential side continue to be strong and are making up for that shortfall in the actual permit activity. So we are expecting to come in over budget in that category at year end. Our grant revenues continue to look strong. We've collected about 47% of budget through November. We are expecting to see just a smidge more additional revenue in some grants for various departments. You can see there, transit, parks and recreation, and police. And then all other is everything else that's in our general fund. It's our interest income. It's our intergovernmental revenue. A big chunk of what's in there is the RTA revenue for our transit IGA. We are expecting to come in a bit over budget there, just over $300,000 at year end, and that's due to the rebate, the AMRRP rebate that we had mentioned last month that is booked in those actuals you see there. Overall, in total for the general fund, we are looking at a favorable budget variance on the revenue side of about $2.8 million or 5.6%, really local sales tax and state shared revenues driving the bulk of that overage. Moving on to the expenditures in the general fund, our personnel is at $11.8 million, or about 34% of budget through November. That's trending as expected. Our percentage of budget does reflect the timing of when the payrolls hit throughout the year, as well as our year-to-date pension contributions. Dave did mention that we now have our final actuarial reports. So we will be starting to feed more throughout the rest of the fiscal year to our corp our correction officers program to get that unfunded liability down. And so we'll start to see those actuals and personnel ramp up here through the rest of the fiscal year as we make those payments to PSPRS. We do have just a bit of vacancy savings factored into the year-end estimate as well for some vacancies and refills that we've seen throughout the year so far. Operations and maintenance, those are trending as we would expect. We've got about $5.5 million spent through November, or 46.5%. Dave had mentioned the claim settlement payment for the Vistoso Trails. That is what's included in the actuals, as well as the year-end estimate, so that is reflected there. We also have some on-call review services. I believe that amounts about $120,000 that we've factored in there for commercial development needs. Our capital is still fairly low through November. We do have quite a bit of activity that hits at the end of the fiscal year, particularly in our IT department as they work through our computer refresh program. But also a big chunk of that capital budget that you may recall is the westward look improvements. We did get some fairly high cost proposals for that project, so I believe some value engineering is underway and some discussions on options to try to bring some of those costs down. And then our transfers out, that is our debt service and our transfers to the capital fund for CIP. I've mentioned in previous months that we've already done the full budgeted debt service transfer and then one third of the transfer to the capital fund. In total, general fund expenditures are just over $24 million, or 37.2% of budget. We are expecting, again, to see that budget variance, about 1.2%, or just under $750,000 attributable to that settlement payment. Here's the chart for the general fund. You can see revenues up quite a bit year over year, $22.5 million compared to $18.7 million. And the expenditures, you can see $24 million in actuals compared to $28 million last year. That variance most likely due to the PSPRS, the large payment that we made to them last fiscal year. We did budget or plan to use fund balance in the general fund, about $13.8 million. Due to our revenue variance that we're seeing, our positive revenue variance, we are expecting to use just under $12 million, about $11.7 million. That would leave us with a fund balance of about $18.7 million, or just under 39% of budgeted expenditures. So that exceeds our council's 30% policy by $4.3 million. Moving on to the highway fund revenues, I don't think we've revised anything since last month here. Our licenses and permits, we've mentioned those are trending a bit higher than expected. We'll just watch those, and if we see a little bit more coming in, we can bump that estimate up. Our state shared revenues, our gas tax revenues had been coming in a little lower than we would have liked through the fiscal year. We did have a strong month for November, I believe. And so we haven't revised anything yet. We're just continuing to kind of keep our eye on that. And then all other, we've mentioned this before, there was a small vendor refund that was received, and that is the variance you see there of about $4,000. That is also the overall variance you see there, just that vendor refund revenues in total for the highway fund, just under $1.7 million, or about 40% through November. Moving on to the expenditures for the highway fund, same situation with the general fund in terms of the timing of payrolls. So our personnel expenditures of about $442,000, or just under 37% of budget, that's expected right now through November based on how many payrolls have hit. Operations and maintenance, actuals are a little low at about 27.6% of budget, but we typically spend nearly all of the budgeted O&M in the highway fund. Don't really see a whole lot of variance there, so we are expecting that budget to be fully utilized throughout the year. And then capital as well. We've spent just over $500,000 in capital in the highway fund compared to our budget of $2.6 million. Our payment preservation program is ongoing, so we'll continue to see those expenditures hit. We also have our La Cunada mill and overlay project, I believe, that's budgeted in here as well. In total, for the highway fund expenditures, we've spent just over 25% of budget, or about $1.2 million through November, and at this time, not projecting any variance in this fund. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Pretty vanilla. Revenues are up just a bit over last fiscal year. You can see $1.7 million compared to $1.6 million. And then expenditures down just a bit. That's really just the timing of when capital expenditures are hitting, $1.2 million compared to $1.3 million. We did plan to use just under $500,000 in fund balance in the highway fund, just a smidge lower than that due to that vendor refund, and looking at a fund balance of about $722,000. And then last but not least, the community center fund. We'll talk about the revenues first. Contracted operating revenues are at about $1.6 million or 40.4% of budget through November. That's actually pretty strong considering that the winter and spring months are quite a bit more activity for them. So we have received some revised year-end estimates from our general manager over at El Conquistador Golf, and we will factor those estimates into our mid-year financials. So be on the lookout for that. Town operating revenues, after a bit of a slow start there, those are looking good. We're feeling good about where our recreation program revenue is at this point in time. It's obviously seasonal, as we do see a lot of our activity with summer camps for kids. But member dues looking good as well, after a bit of concern earlier in the fiscal year. So I'm happy to report that. And then other revenues is everything else, obviously, that hits this fund. Big chunk of that is our half-cent dedicated sales tax, but also our contracted HOA contributions, as well as interest income and some miscellaneous revenues. Obviously, with talking in the general fund with our strong local sales tax growth, that's also, you know, having an impact in this fund as well. And so that overage you see there compared to budget is due to additional revenues that we're expecting for the half-cent sales tax. In total, for the Community Center Fund, we've collected about 40% of our budgeted revenues through November, or $3.4 million. And again, you can see that variance there, about 1.3% or just a smidge over $100,000. It's really entirely due to the sales tax revenue at this point in time. And then the expenditures for the Community Center Fund, contracted operating. I did mention that we've got some estimates from the contractor that we'll be feeding into the mid-year financials, so we can expect that to be adjusted. But right now, trending well. We're at about 44% of budget spent, or just under $2.1 million for the contractor side of things. And then town operating expenditures, we've spent about $710,000 through November, or just under 42%. And we did mention last month that we now have, you know, the new full pay plan that's been implemented townwide. And so you can see that the year-end estimate there compared to budget, that is due to full implementation of that plan and those required salary and hourly adjustments. Capital outlay. We did have a robust capital outlay budget in the Community Center Fund this year. We've spent just under 14% of budget. We are still projecting those to come in on budget at this time, and we'll continue to take a look at that and fine-tune that as we progress here through our capital projects. Transfers out. I had mentioned for the general fund that we have already posted our transfers to debt service, so that is what you see here for the actuals in the Community Center Fund. And you can also see that our year-end estimate for the transfers includes, per council direction, an additional amount transferred to the capital fund to cover the to help cover the golf irrigation project. So you may recall council direction was to direct any additional fund balance in the Community Center Fund in excess of $1 million over to the capital fund to be used for towards the golf irrigation project. So that is that variance you see there, as well as overall for the fund. So we've spent just under $5.2 million, or about 39% of the budget in the Community Center Fund. And that variance you see there is due to that additional transfer. All right, and then here's the chart for the Community Center Fund through November. Revenues up just a bit compared to last fiscal year, $3.4 million compared to $3.3 million. Expenditures are up quite a bit, but you may recall this is the first full year of the Parks and Rec bond debt service that the Community Center Fund will be covering, so that is that difference that you see there. We did budget to use about just under $5 million, $4.7 million in fund balance in the community center fund this year. Due to that additional transfer out that we're going to make for the golf irrigation, we are expecting to use about $4.9 million. And again, per council direction, that would bring us to a fund balance of about $1 million in the community center fund. And with that, we'll take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? We got to have one, I guess. Do you know what the full impact of your pay plan implementation is on the general fund?
Chair Mason, I might have to go back and take a closer look at that. I do know that we had both the police portion and then another portion actually townwide that we had budgeted just in the general fund for right now as a placeholder. But I'd have to go back and check that number. I just don't have that at the tip of my fingers right now.
Well, thanks again, Wendy. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Ray, will you go ahead and read agenda item 5?
Agenda item 5, discussion and possible direction regarding monthly financial reports.
Well, good evening once again, commissioners, Mr. Chair. So this item, I decided to throw this on the agenda due to a question that was raised at the last Budget and Finance Commission meeting by one of the outgoing commissioners, wondering whether the commission needed to see a monthly presentation of the financial information or could just receive that information on a monthly basis and staff not do the presentation. And so that's prompted or spurred discussion or an agenda item at the last council meeting where they also discussed this issue and made the direction to staff that the monthly financial information would still continue to be distributed and disseminated to council members, put up on the website, et cetera, but the presentation of the financial information would be made on a quarterly basis. Being that we kind of have a new commissioners now here that are just starting out, I just wanted to ask the question as to what the commission really desires to see moving forward. If you desire to see the monthly financial presentation, that's fine. If you want to go to kind of the same construct that the council has decided with a quarterly presentation of the financial information, that's fine as well. Staff just wants direction from, again, the new commission, the way that it's currently constructed now, and see whether what we've been doing is still adequate, or you think that that'll meet your needs moving forward, or if that's, or if you want to change something up and you have a different desire or approach moving forward. So that's all this item is about. It's really just to gain your input and direction on this, and staff is at your pleasure. So with that, I will turn the floor back over to the chair for the discussion. Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any thoughts or comments considering this proposal?
I do. So what is the staff cost to, you know, what is the burden to staff to put the presentation together monthly?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Vice Chair, there is a little bit of preparation that staff does prior to the meeting. Wendy could probably discuss that. I mean, it's several hours worth of preparation, two or three hours, I want to say. Correct me if I'm wrong, Wendy, but I believe that's pretty accurate, just to make sure that she's adequately prepared. Obviously, the slides need revision as well from month to month. That takes a little bit of time. I'm guessing it's between 2 and 3 hours total. It might be a little bit more than that, but you know, I wouldn't say it's overly burdensome or significantly burdensome to staff. It is something that that we are used to doing, but it's really more towards what your needs are as a commission and whether you feel like you have the understanding and information necessary moving forward. I mean, you're still going to get all the same reports, the same printouts, and same information. It's just whether you feel like you would prefer to have that presentation. It does take up obviously a little bit of time here at the meeting. Again, not a significant amount of time, and it kind of depends on what the questions are and what the issues are that are raised. But this is just really your determination as to what you want to see moving forward.
I thought the presentation was excellent and extremely helpful, and I would, in discussion, say that we should continue doing this. I would love to be able to see the presentation, though, itself before the meeting so that I can align that with, you know, the budget numbers that are in the packet.
Any other comments?
I could actually go with the quarterly as long as it was on a timely basis presented and also that we had everything.
Sorry. And that we always had something in reference as to quarterly, as to the budget comparisons and everything. And we'd still need someone here if we had a question on the monthly data. So I guess that would be you, David, or someone who can answer specific questions of something of the detail that we do get.
Thank you, Commissioner Fortunato. Yeah, we will continue to have staff available for questions. I guess we would, to properly address those questions, we'd need to agendize the item just to stay in compliance with Arizona open meeting law. So if that's the case, we can handle this one of two ways. We can just agendize the item and have it as discussion, or we can do the presentation. And again, that, you know, staff is ambivalent towards towards that issue. So,
well, I'm wondering, because if we have so many new commissioners, that maybe we could continue for a period of time, and then if we feel comfortable, then maybe we can bring it up again and maybe go to a quarterly basis. I mean, it's been pretty quiet here for a while, so but I think maybe once everybody gets feeling better about the numbers and the procedures here, we can readdress it and we can change it to a quarterly maybe later on down the line.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, certainly we can do that and take that approach. We can bring it back in 6 months and see if if your needs have changed or whatnot. So that seems pretty reasonable to me.
Do we need to do a motion on this? Or okay, so so I guess the motion is to leave the present monthly presentation as is, and then we would readdress it again in 6 months. So do I have a motion?
I second the motion.
Then we need a second too. You did the motion.
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We had a motion by Commissioner Laird, second by Commissioner Carr. Okay, that covers all the agenda items, and now we have the council liaison comments. Mayor Winfield.
Thank you, Chair Mason. I'd like to join Mr. Gephardt in welcoming our new commission members. We appreciate your willingness to serve, and we realize this is on a voluntary basis, and so thank you for your time and expertise. It certainly is much appreciated. In that regards, I believe you received a memo from Melanie Sims about inviting your participation in the 2026 general plan, public engagement plan. And so we're asking for more of your time. That first meeting is this Thursday in the Hopi Room, and then will be some subsequent meetings that are outlined in that letter that you received. I just simply want to also add my invitation to you. We would welcome your participation. My personal belief is the more people we have involved, the better. And so we all bring a particular perspective and to that process. So if you can volunteer some additional time to this, that would be wonderful. We do have a council meeting tomorrow evening. I always invite you to listen, view, or come here to the chamber for those meetings. One item that's on the agenda that may be of particular interest to this group is council will be providing direction to staff about the use of $5.4 million of the ARPA funds. And that's on the agenda. There's a few other items as well, but that's the one that would be of most interest, I think, to this group. That's my report, Chair Mason. Thank you. And congratulations to you and to Vice Chair Laird. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any future agenda items we'd like to bring up? Okay, no future items. I guess that brings us to the end. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion.
A second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we have the motion by Commissioner Laird, second by Commissioner Fortunato, and we will adjourn at 4:55.